Well, it's good to be with you tonight. It's already been six months since I last shared the gospel at St. Saviour's in December, and how quickly time goes. So, yeah, we're already in June, halfway through the year. And a lot's happened, and it's good to be in this place, isn't it, where we can invite friends and colleagues. Well, as Tim alluded to, we are staying in Christchurch. So about 3 years ago, Svetlana and I, we went to CMS and started the process of looking into being missionaries and serving the Lord in another country. And last October, I went to England and to Europe and Germany. We saw a real opportunity there. And so we embarked on the process of applying with CMS to go to Germany. And it seemed on the way that the doors were opening. We found two good options for the boys for schooling, and then also the visas opened up. And then the church also saw the opportunity. Bielefeld, it's a place like Christchurch, similar population. And the opportunity was with 20,000 expat English-speaking people throughout the world who come there to get, who are studying or from the army bases. And we thought, what an exciting opportunity. And then we find out 3 weeks ago that we were not accepted. And for good reasons. But it was hard because it took emotional energy. It took prayer. And we have questions, you know, why, Lord? Why at this time? And yes, it was 3 years ago we started with CMS, but we've been praying about mission since we got married. And so it gave rise to disappointment and, is this our lot, Lord? And then in the process, a health concern. So about a month ago, something I never experienced before, I went to the doctor with. You know, I'm a young, sprightly, fit lad, tender age of 44, and all of a sudden, something I experienced never happened before. And so I go to the doctor and he says, oh, it's probably hemorrhoids, no worries. Then 3 weeks later, I go again and he said, actually, there's a 50-50 chance it's bowel cancer. And so in the middle of applying with CMS, in the middle of the small things we have in life, for the first time I was confronted with the reality of death and the possibility that it could be bowel cancer. And so over the last month, there have been lots of questions going through our minds as a family. And it has been a help. It doesn't happen often, I don't know with you. You look at the scriptures and you look at it from the outside. But there are times when the scriptures speak to you personally, and praise God, it's been one of those times. So hopefully we all can learn from God's word tonight. And then about 3 weeks ago, I catch up with a friend every 3 months, and we pray for each other. And he's a younger man, similar to most of you here. And it was really sad to hear that his third relationship had broken up. And godly young man serving the Lord, it just didn't work out for the third time. What's the Lord doing in that? And he is asking many questions. And for many of you, at different times in your life, you ask questions. It can be financial issues. How am I going to pay the next bill? Or it could be about the future. What does the future hold in store for me? And is God good? And can God be relied on? Is this my lot in life? Is this all there is to my life? And we all have questions. And Al prayed, didn't he, about the daily grind of life. And is God in that? And so we do have questions. Well, let's look at verses 2 and 3. John the Baptist has questions. John asks, are you the coming one, or do we expect another? Now, the coming one is a title that indicates the Messiah. It is a messianic title like the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Coming One. Now, if we go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, when John first speaks in the New Testament, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. And in Mark 1, Mark says, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I. John mentions the coming one again. And this is important because this question he asked, he is saying, are you Jesus, the Messiah, the one promised? That's his first question. And then he asks, do we look for someone else? John had questions. He was perplexed. He had doubts. Here he was, a man who was used to the freedom of the desert and for going out and preaching and confronting people with the realities of who God was. Now he's in prison. It's come to an end. And he was in prison because he questioned the king, King Herod, that he had taken his brother's wife. And I don't know which one of us would confront a leader about their sin and challenge them, but John did. And he was at the stage, was this his lot in life? Jesus was his cousin. His expectations of what he thought Jesus was supposed to do were not being met. He thought he was preparing the one who was going to get rid of all the enemies, get rid of the Romans, and God's people would rule. He was stuck in a prison. He was alone. He had doubts and questions. Is this it, Lord? Well, let's look where he goes for answers. He sends his disciples to the Lord to ask Jesus for the answers. And Jesus does answer John's question. In verse 4, we see Jesus replying and telling his disciples to go and tell John what they are seeing and hearing Jesus do. In Luke chapter 7, the same incident is recorded. And in verse 21, Luke tells us, at that very time, immediately, Jesus cured the many who had diseases. He did cure in front of John's disciples those who were sick, with leprosy, skin deformities, those who had evil spirits, who were controlled by evil. And then he gave sight to the blind. That's what Jesus was doing in front of John's disciples, whom John had sent to ask, are you the Messiah? And Jesus tells John's disciples to go back to John and tell him what they saw and what they heard. The things they saw with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. And of course, it confirmed to John that Jesus was the one who was to come. He was the expected one. He was the Christ that fulfills Scripture and what he has promised throughout the hundreds of years of history. And in verse 6, we hear these wonderful words. Blessed are you, but there's a condition, if you do not fall away on account of me. And it's got the idea of turning or being caught in a trap of question after question. And I have the privilege of being here and giving people the opportunity to consider Jesus. Just out there, actually, every Thursday lunchtime, Amy asks, oh, why can't we go somewhere different? It's just the place where I feel comfortable. But this week, Lance, a young man studying architecture, I asked him the question, if you could ask God one question, knew that it would be answered, a good CE question, what would you answer? And he said, I don't know, I've never thought about that. Let me come back to you. But then other times, people ask question after question after question, and you answer them, and the answers seem palatable, and they accept them. But there's still more questions, and there's a point where the questions finish, and you have to accept what Jesus says. He is the Messiah. So if you want to be blessed, don't stumble over Jesus. Don't allow anything he says or anything he has done to lure you into doubt. That was one of the sad challenges for my mum. She came to church for a year and a half, but she just couldn't understand forgiveness and that God forgives. Don't stumble over Jesus. And don't keep questioning him in a wrong way. Don't fall into the trap of keeping asking questions that are just with doubt. Well, what did John do? And what do we need to do? We need to go to Jesus directly. We need to go to his word. We need to see his power. And like the Galatians, when they were challenged about turning away from Christ and going back to the works of the law, Paul says to them, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by doing stuff, or by hearing by faith? And it's amazing, as I have the privilege of sharing the gospel and living the Christian life and seeing those who are growing, it's those who are in the scriptures day in, day out, listening, learning, accepting, doing. And that's what John was learning, to go to Jesus and to listen to him. And we're not to measure the circumstances in our life to limit who Jesus is. You cannot measure God by the sum of your experiences. And life is not about what is happening to you. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, on believers and unbelievers. And the rain falls also on believers and non-believers. It's not about what's happening to you, but it's how you respond. Do you go to Jesus? Blessed are those who are not offended by Jesus. Well, Jesus goes on from verses 7 to 15 to answer the questions that might be raised of who John is. In verse 7 and 9, did you go out to see a reed swayed in the wind? Did you go out to see someone who was easily tossed about? And obviously John wasn't that sort of guy. He wasn't a double-minded man. He wasn't an all black that would wear mascara. He would be a real man. And he wasn't a man dressed in fine clothes, so he wasn't a pretty boy either. And he wasn't in a king's palace. But what was he? He was a prophet. And Jesus tells the crowd he was more than a prophet. Well, how? Well, verse 10, look there. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. John was a prophet, but he also was the unique predicted prophet. He was the predicted forerunner of the predicted Christ. And as Tim read Malachi, that was written 400 years before John came, approximately. And John came as the messenger to prepare the way for the Christ. Jesus says about John that Among those born of woman, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Here he is in prison. His disciples have gone back. He's speaking to the crowd. This is what Jesus says about John. There's no one greater, but he's in prison. And from Genesis to that time, John was declared great. And obviously, character-wise, he had a great character. But humanly speaking, he was down and out for the count. Jesus didn't visit him personally. There was no escape plan or miracle from Jesus. He didn't get the legions of angels to help him escape. But this was Jesus' verdict of John. John fulfills Scripture by coming and more clearly pointing to Christ, more than any of the prophets before him. He was the one who said about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was the one who saw the Spirit like a dove land on Jesus. No other prophet had seen it. He was the one who heard the voice of the living God from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him." John was the greatest man to have lived to that time. But do you know what comes next is amazing? Because it refers to the crowd, but to us also. It's also very humbling. Yes, John, the greatest man to live up to that point. But do you know what? If you're a believer, you are greater still. And the reason is, those who believe in Jesus participate in the full understanding, in the full measure of something John only saw in a shadowy form. We know that Jesus did die on the cross. We know that Jesus died on the cross to take away the sin of his people. We know Jesus lived a perfect life, and his righteous life becomes every believer's. And no longer does he see us and our sin, but he sees Jesus' righteous life. So our sin is taken away, and we are made righteous as if we were Jesus ourselves, clothed in his righteousness. And I wonder if you can echo these words of a song, because you know Jesus and what he's done for you. I am special because God has loved me. He has given the best thing that he had to save me. Jesus, God's own Son, crucified to take away all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love right now and know I'm your special friend. And for those who are Christ, you are his friend. And so you who feel least, you are greater than John. In verse 12, we read there, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. It sounds like an action movie, doesn't it? There's the kingdom forcefully advancing. And it carries the thought of the kingdom of God pressing ahead relentlessly. And only the relentless press the way into it. And so, have you done that? Have you taken the opportunity, as we've heard over the last weeks and months, to see Jesus as your Christ and to see your need for him and accept him? In verse 13, the prophets and the law, they all pointed to the Messiah coming, the kingdom coming. From Genesis to John, the prophets and the law were speaking, there is one coming. John had arrived, and he was preparing the way for the Messiah. He preached, he taught, the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn. John was the Elijah to come. In John 1:21, he acknowledges he's not the reincarnated Elijah, but the role he had was to be the one who was like Elijah, who was to come. And we see at the end, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, listen." Well, Jesus answers our questions. Each of you at different times will experience circumstances where you wonder why. Why me? Or what's in this? Why is there evil and suffering? In the book of Job, it says, "Man is born for trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." And as a group of people, most of us have experienced the earthquakes. Why us at this time, Lord? And many of you experience tension, maybe in friendships going sour, or in family relationships. And these things cause you to doubt. And so do circumstances leave you perplexed? What's going on? Remember, questioning can be a trap, and it can cause doubt. What did John do when you have those questions? He went to Jesus. Is that where you go, day in, day out in life? And also, Jesus said at the start of the chapter, he had come to teach and preach. And one of the things he fulfills is he preaches good news to the poor. So at St. John's Sunday at 7, why do we spend 20 minutes, hopefully, 20 to 30 minutes on teaching and preaching? Why do we go to growth groups during the week? Why do we encourage people to read the scriptures? Because it's what Jesus done, teaching and preaching. And it's how we find out and know Jesus is the Messiah. He's the coming one who has come and fulfilled and does fulfill Scripture. And he will continue to fulfill Scripture until he returns. And I wonder if you're like John, you can say, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I wonder this week, if we were more like John, what would happen? Jesus said in Matthew 17, verses 10 to 12, Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come." Talking about John the Baptist, "and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished." Jesus knew what was going on in John's life. And then Jesus says, "In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. And I wonder if we were more like John the Baptist, willing to branch out courageously, what would happen? John had his questions answered, his doubts removed. Well, how do we know that? Well, in Matthew chapter 14, 10 to 13, John was beheaded in prison, but John's disciples came and they took his body and buried it. And where did they go then? Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what happened, He withdrew by a boat to a solitary place. And what comfort that is. He is not unmoved. It looked like John was down and out for the count, that he had to be there by himself. And it's the same in our lives. Do we realize that nothing happens out of His almightiness? No circumstance in your life. And in Romans 8:29, yes, for those who believe in Jesus, you've been called to follow Him and you've been predestined. And what for? What's your purpose? What's God's purpose? To be conformed to the image of Christ. So all that you face is moving you to be like Christ. And I wonder, whatever question you have, if 100 years from now, will it matter? Those doubts, those fears? Blessed are those who are not offended, who don't fall away from following Jesus. And so the question is, and the encouragement, would we take time out and be challenged by those verses and find out what God is saying to each one of us? Blessed, in the positive sense, are those who are hard out, day in, day out, in life here in Christchurch, following Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we do want to praise you for your word that John the Baptist, he had questions, that great man of God. And Lord, many of us have questions. May we ask the right kind of questions and go to Jesus always. And Father, this week, may you challenge us, because we do want to be the blessed people that experience not being offended because of Jesus. Help us to proclaim Him, to preach Him as we have opportunity. And Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be working in our lives, to be giving us the opportunities to share about Jesus being the Christ who fulfills Scripture. Amen.